This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
Lucas, the medical community talks about flattening the curve in the corona pandemic. Has the curve been flattened in dairy's price pandemic?
It's certainly been a wild ride in dairy prices over the past several weeks. After hitting multi-year lows into mid-April, we've seen a variety of factors kind of converge on this market to push prices higher into what's looking more and more like a V-shaped recovery in recent weeks. Dairy farmers were very successful in pulling back production and eliminating the huge supply worrisome factors that we had on milk moving into April. And then into this month, we've seen a variety of demand factors pick up, which have pushed dairy prices higher. First, limited restaurant reopenings caused food service demand to step back into the market to refill the pipelines, pushing up demand slightly. But the key factor here in recent days is USDA's announcement of their food box program award bids. USDA front-loaded a lot of this demand and called for as much as $300 million of a dairy purchase over the next 4 to 6 weeks. That's more than double their original estimate. This caused prices to skyrocket last week.
Lucas Fees, Director of Dairy Market Intelligence with High Ground Dairy in Chicago.
Tuesday.
We look at the latest surge in cheese prices with Mary Ledman, Global Dairy Strategist with Rabobank Finance, who says while cheese prices remain strong now, you never know about tomorrow.
When you're looking at putting together a risk management plan, you absolutely need to be considering that there's going to be another shutdown somewhere, sometime. And the markets today, we did not predict the cheese market bouncing back up here above $1.50, let alone breaking through $1.70. And quite frankly, I don't think the supply-demand fundamentals really support the markets being at the levels that they are at. But you can never argue against market sentiment as well, right? I mean, there are people, companies going to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, they're buying barrels, they're buying block cheese, they're buying butter, and it's because they've got demand for this product. What we saw first was the surge at retail. Now we're experiencing the surge at food service, but you have to feed a bull market. And each of these surges are going to be followed by a period of more quiet buying.
Wednesday.
And I heard Secretary Perdue say the other day, whoever thought that families would sit around the dinner table and talk about the food supply chain? It's a great learning opportunity or educational opportunity from farmers to consumers. Obviously, none of us wanted this to happen, but there is kind of an opportunity there. And consumers have learned a lot about agriculture and the food supply chain. And of course, the farmers are at the very beginning of that food supply chain and the most essential part of it.
That's Sandy Chalmers, Wisconsin Executive Director of the USDA Farm Service Agency, comments from the recent PDPW Dairy Signal at pdpw.org.
Thursday.
We know that farms of all sizes deserve to be treated equitably, so we think that a higher payment limit, given the size and the nature of the business operation, is the most equitable way to treat all farms. So ultimately, it's going to be up to USDA to look at your production history, that you provide information about your farm, your business, and then they are expected to get the payments out in June.
Again, that website address, farmers.gov/CFAP. And more resources also available at National Milk's website at nmpf.org.
Friday.
Certain milk processing plants only make cheese or they only bottle milk. And so they don't have the flexibility to say, well, gee, I think since we have all this extra milk, we'll just make it into dry milk powder and butter. Well, they don't have that flexibility anymore. These plants are very large, very specialized, and that's what caused the problem in Arizona. Their plants were dedicated to fluid milk, and they had no other place to go with it, and it was too far to take it and transport it to California or South Dakota or places like that. So these plants have lost flexibility in terms of what kind of dairy products they can move the milk.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to dairyradio.com. We've been reporting about how dairy farmers have had to dump their milk on their farms back in March and especially in April due to the COVID pandemic. Well, Matt Gould, analyst and editor of the Dairy and Food Market Analyst Newsletter, ran the numbers and made some interesting observations about that milk, and he shares what he learned with Lee Milkey on Monday. Have a good weekend. I'm Bill Baker.
Dairy Rewind.